Thanks. Our first reading is Isaiah 65, 17 to 25, and it's the one I want to talk to you about this morning, and then we'll hear the resurrection story from John's Gospel. If you want to follow this reading, it's on page 743 of your pew Bible. And God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah, and he says, "Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. He who dies at 100 will be thought a mere youth. He who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people, my chosen ones, will long enjoy the works of their hands. They will not toil in vain or bear children doomed to misfortune, for they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. But dust will eat the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all the holy mountain, says the Lord." And the gospel reading for today is for John, from John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. And this is found on page 1074 of your pew Bible. "Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, 'They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him.' So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. And he saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. And finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'They have taken my Lord away,' she said, 'and I don't know where they have put him.' At this she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. 'Woman,' he said, 'why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?' Thinking he was the gardener, she said, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' And she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, 'Rabboni,' which means teacher. And Jesus said, 'Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.' And Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you that through Christ our Lord, you are making all things new. And the resurrection is the promise and guarantee of that newness. And so, Lord, as we hear this message this morning from this ancient prophecy that you gave to your people Israel through the prophet Isaiah, so speak anew into our hearts and lives to renew us and bless us and make us your Easter people. In your precious name we pray, our risen Lord. Amen. And the title of my sermon this morning is The Dawn of a New Era. Richard Jensen, in his book, A Vision for the Future, tells the story of a bishop who once returned home after having a meeting of bishops, which was addressed by three key speakers. And he reported to his staff on the content of those speeches that were made at that meeting. He said to his staff, the first speaker teaches the Bible at one of our seminaries. She did an excellent job of tracing the current biblical research that had brought us to the present. And she gave us an excellent review of the recent and not so recent biblical studies. The second speaker, he said, was a theologian. He did much the same thing as the Bible teacher. He reminded us of our heritage, he talked to us about the giants of theology in the 20th century, and he outlined the major streams of theology that had brought us to our present state. The staff of the meeting then, he said, noticed that as the bishop was beginning to speak about the third speaker, his voice pitched a little bit higher, his speech was a little quicker, and he was animated with his hands. He said, the third speaker was an incredibly gifted laywoman who works in the field of applied science. She's a member of our denomination and a product of one of our church's colleges. The thing she told us about the nature of science today was mind-boggling. It's a field that is changing with incredible speed. The average length of time for a job in her field is 3 years. The average length of a company in the field is 7 years. On one hand, she said, that is scary. But on the other hand, she said, this is probably the most exciting time to be alive that humankind has ever known. Things are changing, and there are grand new opportunities. We can change our future. The bishop grew more serious again. I found it most interesting, he said, that our church leaders talk to us mostly about the past, while she talked to us mostly about the future. And that's not all. She not only talked about the future, but she made it clear that science has moved beyond the point of thinking that God can be factored out of any intelligent equation. And as we move to a new future, she said that spiritual issues were of vital concern. And you have the answers here, she said to us. We look to you, we need you. Help us to provide the spiritual sustenance the world needs as we move towards a new tomorrow. At the end of the conference, he said, I caught up with her and managed to have a coffee with her. And she told me that she carefully observed our group over the 5 days and was impressed. You are wonderful leaders, she said. As a group, you are incredibly bright and talented. I've never heard any group that is so knowledgeable of the kind of issues you discuss with each other. I've been listening in on your conversations, and I'm glad that our church has such knowledgeable and dedicated leaders. But, she said, everything you talk about is in the past. It's the past that you are so knowledgeable of. But I don't think I've heard anyone discuss the future. Where is your church going in this exciting time? What kind of future are you going to create? Surely in the church you have language to talk about the future. Surely you have language in the Bible which can hold out a vision of hope for a new world. If you're anything like me, you will agree with that bishop and that lady scientist. I wonder from how many pulpits today, and I wonder in how many people's hearts, the resurrection of Jesus will be dealt with and remembered as an historical event only, with relevance and application really only for the individual. By this I mean that Jesus rose again from the third day, on the third day, this Easter Sunday, and by doing so he has declared his victory over sin, death, and the devil. And because I have a personal relationship with him by faith, I'm assured that when I die, I'm going to heaven to be with him, and that's the end of it. Now, that is one of the most foundational key truths of our Christian faith, and I'm not denying it or mocking it. But there is more to our faith than that, and there is more to Easter than that. The day that Jesus rose again from the dead began a new era, a new way of being, a new future. This new future, this beautiful vision of the future, is given to us by God through the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament reading for today. And it's wonderful that the church fathers have chosen this Old Testament reading to go with the account of Jesus' resurrection this day. For the resurrection makes the fulfillment of this prophecy not only possible, but a reality. Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind, says God. In his resurrection, Jesus destroys sin. What Isaiah is prophesying is a new future without the harmful effects of sin, a new Eden like that which existed before the fall into sin. The new heavens and the new earth will indeed be wonderful. And from what we read in Isaiah, there will be no more tears or weeping. The lifespan of people will go on and on. Private property will be owned and built upon, lived in, and farmed without taxes or servitude. Labor will be productive. Families will be joyful. God's presence will assure instant two-way and responsive communication. The symbol of shalom, peace, shall prevail throughout the whole world. And even the law of the jungle of the animals will be changed and transformed into a covenant of reconciliation and peace. God says through Isaiah, be glad, rejoice forever in what I will create. Joy and delight is what the new creation will bring. All of the weeping, the distress, the infant death and shortened life, theft and misappropriation of property that has corrupted the earth, all that has prevented creation from becoming all that God intended it to be, he will remove, and he has through his resurrection. And from the day of resurrection, the new heavens and the new earth have begun. So the disasters that we see in the world around us today are not what will determine the future of God's creation. Neither terrorist activity nor the excess of military power will hold sway in God's order of things. Political deception will have no place, nor will abuse within the family and the workplace. The selfish exploitation of nature and its neglect will be recognized, and the suffering that these things bring, as well as that which by chance happens because of illness or accident, will pass away. All that is evil will be seen for what it is, and all that is hurtful will be banished. This is what the vision of Isaiah 65 looks towards. It looks just not to making a new physical world, but also the renewing of relationships and interconnections within the world which maintain life in its physical, spiritual, social, and other dimensions. And this is our Christian hope. Hope for Christians is not a wishful hope like, I hope it'll be fine this afternoon. It's actually a sure hope. We know this kind of new heavens and new earth will come into being. It will come into being because of what we celebrate today, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, this doesn't mean that we try and make the new world, new era happen by force. A desire for utopia is a natural impulse for our humanity. No generation passes without some charismatic leader or group trying to set up some kind of community with dreams of recreating paradise. And most of the time, these communities end being a shadow of their former selves. They drift into extinction or they self-destruct. As visionary and as exciting as all of these utopias may be, their remnants are reminders that only God can create the new heavens and the new earth. So that you don't think that this is making a big deal out of an isolated piece of scripture, every quality of life prophesied about in Isaiah is actually repeated and reaffirmed in the book of Revelation. To discount Isaiah's vision is to deny the revelation, and to deny the revelation is to limit the redemptive purpose of God. Today, as we remember and rejoice that Jesus is risen, we are also well aware that the new creation has not caused the old one to be forgotten. There's still anguish and rebellion, weeping, premature death and destruction. The old creation actually persists alongside the new. But the new creation, epitomized in Jesus' resurrection, is the witness and the guarantee that the old creation has been judged and rejected by God. A new era is dawning. You can participate in it by living life by faith in Him who rose this day. And as you live your life in Him, this resurrected life, this new life that is in you, the world will see glimpses of that new era as Christ's peace and love and power shines in you and through you out to others. The resurrection happened 2,000 years ago. It's still actually happening today. And there is a future forming that is far greater than any politician, any scientist, any doctor could create. In Jesus, our Prince of Peace, we look forward to that future time, that future day of resurrection, when all the violence, the hatred, the sin, and the death, and the evil of this world shall end. As the prophet describes it, the sounds of weeping and crying will be heard in it no more. That is the future that is becoming a reality this very day. And this is the message of Easter Sunday for the world that will actually impact the world. It is a current and it is a relevant message. There is hope. The new era is dawning. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh Christ, we thank you for the great hope that we have in ourselves and for this world and for this creation because you rose from the dead this day. And Lord, the resurrection is not just a historical message with individual application, but rather it is a current and relevant message as your new creation is forming in the world, is forming in your world through the church and through the kingdom of God as you manifest your reign here on this earth. Lord, as we go forward from this church today, let us be your Easter people. Let us be your new people, people of the new creation, sharing the hope that we have in you with the world. In your precious name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.